This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And it is a, today's the last day of summer, I believe.
Last full day. Tomorrow, 4:21 a.m. is when autumn arrives.
There we go. Wow, I think it has already arrived.
I know. Honestly. Feels good though, doesn't it?
I really like it. This is probably my favorite time of year is the fall. I love it.
Yeah, you can wear, you know, a better, different clothing. There's more options that way.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is. So here we are.
Well, and if you're on 93 North, in the last 13, 15 years in radio, I've never been late. And so I texted you from 93. Yes, I was texting and driving at 5 miles an hour because I was in a traffic jam on 93 North. I get on normally at exit 4 and head north and get off on South Willow in Manchester. And I get on and it's all blocked up and it's barely moving. And after a couple minutes, I pass a sign that says construction 1 mile. And then another sign, I was in the left lane, move over to the right. All right, so, okay. When you narrow down to one lane, that's typically what happens. It just slows down, and then it's fine. I'm looking at my phone that has a traffic tracker, and I can see it gets a little better right around exit 5 where your restaurant is. So it's finally time, and everybody moves over. The sign says, merge right. And everybody merges right, and there's no construction.
There was nothing there.
So there was all these signs telling you to move over, totally slowing down traffic, costing me maybe 10 minutes. So not the end of the world. And there was nothing there. So it was a phantom construction delay on 93 northbound. You may be in it right now.
I like that.
There was no indication there was going to be any construction. I saw no trucks, no people. Somebody didn't take the signs down. Shame on them.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Just
really
slowed everybody down.
Right. That's awful.
So that's the latest on that.
Hmm.
And yes, I did text and drive. I needed Carol to know that I could be late.
And then he did it again when he was on South Willow Street.
Yeah, but I was at a light then. Typically, I would not do that and don't because of the law.
Right.
So, right. You know, if the cops show up and arrest me because I have publicly admitted in extenuating circumstances.
Oh, my gosh, they're going to come get you.
I know.
Chief Willard's probably listening.
Willard. Well, we'll bribe him. I brought some of my chocolate infinity cookies today.
That'll probably win him over.
Yeah,
I bet it will.
Exactly.
Those are really darn good.
Thanks.
Those are crazy. They're like so chocolatey.
Yeah, they are. And I even put a little less sugar in them than the recipe calls for.
Good.
Yeah. So I make you feel a little bit better. But it's Ghirardelli chocolate. It's the really good stuff. I mean, you could make it with a lesser chocolate, but it wouldn't have that oh wow factor.
No,
which
it wouldn't have that rich, creamy, not so much creamy, but just rich chocolate flavor.
Yeah, it's almost like sort of fudgy brownie-ish, mm-hmm. right? They just came out of the oven a few hours ago. As the days go on, they still stay soft, but they don't stay quite as, soft on the inside. So, and as you may have noticed, just like snowflakes, no two are alike.
And I did go work out this morning, listeners. I went.
Mm-hmm.
I had it all ready yesterday. When I tell Daryl I'm going, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that over the past year and a half. If I say something, I got to do it. So I waited mm-hmm. until I was really sure yesterday.
Yes.
And but you know, sometimes I need that. You know. So.
Did it feel? I mean, was it a little tougher because if you haven't done it for a while, sometimes your endurance might not be what it used to be.
Well, you know what? I did call yesterday and talk to my coach Donna, and I said to her, because I was on like a whole, you know, I was on mm-hmm. a different routine. Instead of just the machines, I had mm-hmm. went up, you know, a notch or whatever to doing some free weights. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought, I called her and I told her the situation, you know, I need to come back, you know, da-da-da. And I think I should go back to my program where I was just doing machines. Let me get back mm-hmm. into it and, you know, but she was kind of... She said, don't let Rocco know that you're doing that. I'm like, well, I won't tell him. I won't tell him if you won't tell him. And because I guess if you change your program like that, you mm-hmm. should like have a new starting point, and which I understand that.
Yeah, that's probably
do.
True.
And I told her, I said, you know what? I go, I do understand that, but let me just get into it for a couple weeks, and I'll call, and I'll do my start. You know, we'll get a start.
Yeah.
Just let me get a little headway here. Mm-hmm. little leeway. So,
so you think you're, how many days a week would you like to be
at the gym?
Three days a week?
Three, yeah.
So do you feel like you can get back into that again?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good.
I'll be back into my Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday routine. So
cool.
Yeah, Michelle was so excited to see me this morning. I was there ahead of her.
She's been going all along
pretty much. Yeah, she has.
And how's she doing with her program?
She's doing fantastic.
She looked pretty good in the, you know, I mean, selfies are not the most flattering things in the world, but
I know.
But she looked pretty good.
Yeah, nope, she's doing really, really well. Very well.
So. Yeah, because she teaches, right?
Yep, so she's a school teacher. This is her last year.
Morning. Oh, it is?
Yeah, she's been teaching 36 years or something at Green Acres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been doing it a long time. So she'll be done.
Very cool.
She will be done. Well, she has a business with Thrive like I do. She's up to me, and she's doing very well with
it,
too. So yeah, she's going to dedicate her time to that, and it's time anyway. It's time for her to retire.
We
the
all
kids are
need
getting
to move
to
on
her.
At some point. Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
And she said, actually, I shouldn't say that. It's not the kids. It's all the paperwork and all the stuff that goes with it, you know?
Seems like there's less teaching and more of everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have a sister. What grade does she teach?
Third.
Yeah, I've got a sister who's been teaching fourth grade for over 20 years. So you do hear the stories.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So we need our teachers. Hey, honesty, is it always the best policy, do you think?
Well, most of the time,
all
yes.
right. Well, I'll read the story and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
This Domino's delivery dropped off much more than what a Berkeley, California man ordered.
Ooh.
When Mike Vegas, I love that name. Maybe I'll just kind of rechange mine to that. When Mike Vegas received his delivery of pizza and wings from Domino's, he was shocked to find two huge wads of cash intended to be deposited at the bank, according to ABC 7 News. Now, apparently, the delivery man had put the cash in the wings box for safekeeping, then accidentally delivered it. Now, of course, I mean, I'm sure that all restaurants, they have to make runs to the bank every day, and I suppose, you know, that was his system of doing it anyway.
He stuck it in the wings box?
Well, I don't think there were wings in it. I just think that was the box that should have been the wings, and probably they got swapped out somewhere.
Oh, okay, I get it. Okay.
While Mike Vegas admits he would have loved to keep the money, he instead called Domino's and returned the cash. As a form of gratitude, the Domino's location is offering him free pizza for a year.
Oh.
Now, that's nice.
That's very nice.
They didn't have to do that.
I think it's
nice because look what happened. It got a nice bit of publicity about it.
Of course, it's very smart.
Right, and you're very good. You know how that works.
Yeah,
you know how to play that
game. For sure.
Putting cash in a delivery box seems like a pretty foolish mistake to make, but storing money in bad locations is a surprisingly common mishap at food chains, fast food chains. In one such case earlier this year, a Burger King customer accidentally received a bag full of cash intended for a deposit at the bank instead of her order at a drive-thru.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and by the way, there was $1,300 in the box, in case anybody's wondering. Supposed to go to the bank.
Whoa.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people. Well, I don't know if it's a lot of people, but there are people that would not have turned it in. But, you know, it wouldn't have been hard to track down where it went.
Right.
And so then
I mean,
it just
a matter
makes
of how many customers, you know.
Well, exactly. And I mean, and they know where the order of wings was supposed to go.
Right.
So they could have found it easily. And, you know, so it would have been embarrassing. So the guy saved himself embarrassment and he did the right thing.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Honesty is the best policy.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
Interesting.
Found that this morning. You know, you'll be seeing it all over the news later today.
Probably. And, you know, when I used to run my Manchester location and, you know, go in and do the money in the morning, you know, get it out of the safe and count it, and then you go upstairs and you get stuck at the, you know, at the grill or, you know, out front and you get the money bag and you set it down. You don't know how many times I've lost the bag, not lost it like permanently, but it's like, where's the bag? So, you know, it definitely can happen. I when you were saying that, I was picturing myself like that.
Yeah.
And you know what, that's going to be a reminder to my GMs on Thursday's meeting to make sure you know where the money is.
Well, there you go.
Is.
You can take this story as a reminder.
I'll make them all read it, or I'll read it all to them.
Right.
All right, today's food holiday. It's actually a really good one.
Oh, finally.
It
They've
is.
Been pretty lame this week.
There's a couple good ones. It's National White Chocolate Day.
I do not like white chocolate.
I don't either.
It's a fraud. It's not even chocolate.
I agree.
It's byproduct.
I'm not a white chocolate person, but, you know, it's better than the what we've been having some weird ones. It's also National Ice Cream Cone Day.
Okay.
That's a pretty good
yes,
one.
Yes, it is.
It's also National Hobbit Day.
Okay, I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy.
And it's St. Morris's, neither am I. It's St. Morris's Day, patron of knife grinders.
Really?
Isn't that funny?
That is cool.
Yeah. So that's that.
Wow.
And do you know what the most popular beverage in the world is?
Well, I'm going to say it's bottled water.
Nope.
Next guess would be coffee.
Nope.
Wow. 0-2. Well.
Number one and number two. So if anybody wants to chime in on that, you know, we're going to go on break.
Okay.
And
don't know.
866-823-1077. What is the most popular beverage in the world? Hmm. It is not, you said coffee.
Coffee, and then I said bottled water.
Bottled water.
Because I think bottled water has passed coffee, although I could be wrong. I don't know if you've got like a 1-10 list or anything like that.
Well, I have a 1-5.
Okay. Is coffee or water in the top five?
I only know coffee is in the top.
Mm-hmm.
Five, but it's not 1 or 2.
Okay.
I only put down 1 and 2. Actually, I might have the other ones. I'll check when we go to break.
Okay.
We're going to go on break, and when we come back, we'll be joined with Dan Cesney, author, writer, and traveler, bizarre food and snacks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought is brought to you by Mama McDonough's Irish Pub on Depot Street in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side. Also, Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company. And Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and the new one with the drive-thru in Londonderry, redarrow.com. Redarrowdiner.com. Sorry about that.
I was going to fix that, but I waited. I figured you'd catch yourself,
yeah.
And you did.
All right.
It is Tuesday today, and it is time for Dan Cesney's segment on bizarre, different food and snacks. And you brought one of my favorite things, Mike. Also,
you'll have to excuse me. I'm busy eating Mike's
eating
cookies.
Infinity chocolate cookies.
See, the name Infinity means that it's never gone. You put a piece down, and it's still the same size.
And you want it forever and ever and ever.
That's it, yes.
But they're very good.
Thanks. Well, I think it'll match nicely with one of the items you brought today.
The popcorn or the juice?
Oh, the popcorn.
Yeah.
I don't see guava juice and chocolate cookies being a marriage made in heaven, Dan.
You don't want to dip the cookies into the guava juice?
I'm thinking probably.
Have you ever tried guava?
Not I mean,
just
that
I
know
the fruit
of.
Itself?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know.
All right, well, we'll try.
I don't know if I have either. When would you drink guava juice?
Well, you know, and it's, in some countries they would ask you, when would you drink apple juice or when would you drink you know, grape juice?
True.
I mean, it's the particular brand that I brought is called Honeybee Guava Juice, and it's from Taiwan, actually, Taiwanese. And it's pretty popular in the South American country. I mean, it started in Mexico, South America. That's where the guava is grown. But they grow them in Florida now and in California. And the fruit itself is actually quite good. Sort of like a sweeter lemon.
Hmm.
Mm. But we'll wash down our main
attraction
today, which is popcorn. But it is sriracha popcorn.
Yay!
I am so excited to try this.
Because I love sriracha. Everybody loves sriracha.
Hasn't it? It's so popular.
Yeah, it's extremely crazy. Popular. And in thinking about what to talk about with sriracha, everybody knows what sriracha is, particularly in America.
Be surprised. A lot of people have never heard of it that I've spoken to about it.
You have a sriracha guest expert,
We do. Yeah, Randy Clemens wrote a couple of
sriracha cookbooks.
And the sriracha vegetarian cookbook.
Yeah.
Who was he just interviewed by that came in from...
The Korean television network, Korean broadcasting system.
Oh, cool.
Came because he's this expert. I mean, he gets invited to judge these national competitions for sriracha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And they came and they went over to the Lazy Lion on Elm Street here in Manchester, which is one of the most remarkable chocolate boutiques in the country. Mm. And they made sriracha ice cream.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just one small batch. You know, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah. It's gone.
And I'm looking at the book, honey, sriracha, glazed buffalo wings, cornbread, peach sriracha sorbet. Oh, my gosh. Oof.
I made some sriracha cornbread, actually, over the weekend.
And all I did was just bring popcorn. but what I wanted to do is actually talk to you guys about the history of this company. It's actually Hufong is the name of the rooster sriracha. Because, as you know, sriracha is not a brand. Sriracha is a type of food. And there's several brands that make different types of sriracha. But in America, North America in particular, when you talk about sriracha, you're talking about Hufang Foods out of California. They are our brand. And it's the rooster sauce is what is its nickname because of the image of the beautiful rooster on the front of it. But when was the first time that you guys ever tried sriracha? Do you remember? Do you remember it?
Probably just a few months ago for me, that I'm aware of.
No, mine was longer mm-hmm. than that. I'd say maybe a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's been in the diner now for over a year.
Yeah. And I, my sriracha story goes back 15 years. When Hippo first started, you know, we were right around the corner from you, from the Red Arrow.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time in the Red Arrow. But another place that we spent a lot of time in was Wild Rover, which is right across the street from you.
Yeah.
And we had a food guy, John Flad, who's writing a lot of our food stories at the time. And he came into the office very early on. And he said, hey, we have to go over to the Red Rover. And they have these chicken crusted burgers. And they have this sauce. I never heard of it. This was 2002, 2003.
So the paper's barely open at this point,
so the
right?
paper's barely open. And, you know, we were living like, you know, like it was like a frat house anyway. So if we weren't at the paper, we were eating someplace either at the Red Rover, at the Red Arrow or the Wild Rover. So we were like, okay, so after work, we all went down. And, you know, if you think back, like in your history, especially if you're a foodie, if you think back, you can probably remember 6 or 7 meals, right, over the course of your life that were more than meals. They were events. Mm-hmm. There was epic. There were moments in time, right? And this was one of them.
This was one of your moments in time, I can tell.
We went to the Wild Rover. And we all sat down, we all ordered this burger because John was raving on and on about it. And he said, hold on a second. And he went over to the bar and he went under the bar and there was a crate under the bar. And there was these bottles of red sauce. Now, they weren't in the sriracha bottles. Apparently, the Red Rover, because it looks very foreign. So the Red Rover took the sauce out, put it in regular like ketchup bottles. And so he brought it. So I had no idea. We had no idea what it even was at the time.
Oh, interesting.
So he took it and he put it around. We put all of it on our sandwiches, and it was epic. That was my first I didn't know it was sriracha at the time, but it was sriracha.
Did he ever disclose that's what it was?
Well, he didn't know either, because all the Red Rover told us was it was just a special hot sauce.
Wild Rover.
The Wild Rover, I'm sorry. The Red Rover. combining the two.
That's right. Or the Wild Arrow. Have you been
to the Wild Arrow? And so we didn't know. All we knew was that it was this special hot sauce that the Wild Rover used, and it was amazing. And as you know, it changes the food that it's on.
As you were talking about that story, I remember the first time that I was introduced to it. As you're talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember. I was with my friend Michelle, and it was when Canoe opened up in Concord. Mm-hmm. So how long has that been? 2-3 years?
A couple of years now.
Right? Yeah. And he has this, it's one of his appetizers. I'm pretty sure it's his column. No, maybe one of his appetizers, and he kind of splays it on the plate at the bottom and says in the description, you know, it's a hot sauce, you know, like kind of that, you know, because it's fancy over there. And you can, you know, swipe it in there and eat it. And I was just like, what is this stuff? Yeah. Like sriracha? Or, you know, and you didn't pronounce it correctly and all. That's when I first had it.
Yeah.
And then that's when I started, you know. And then it just started the craze. Well, which really wasn't until like probably a year ago.
It was about a year or so ago.
Yeah. And I remember my director of operations at the time, I'm like, we need to get sriracha in the diners. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, I want sriracha in the diners. I want them in all the diners. It has to. And he got the wrong kind. I remember he's
right,
like,
there's all different. There's different. Right. Well, what we have to. We
well,
should. We should
or
say,
something
yeah.
like that.
Well, ugh. We should say that sriracha is like curry is a type of sauce.
It's a condiment,
and
really.
And it's a condiment. And there's a variety of brands that make sriracha.
Yeah,
and
the
one that we
brand.
Know is the rooster sauce, which is Hufang Foods out of California. And that's the one that's very popular here. So he brought you back the wrong one.
He said to me, he said, they're all, you know, because I kept saying, when is it going to be in? When's it going to be in? He's like, they're in both. It was, you know, Londonderry wasn't there yet. It's in both of the diners. I was so excited to go. I'll never forget sitting there at the counter and taking it and going, it's the wrong kind.
Oh,
like, really?
No.
I didn't even use it. I'm like, no way. I was so mad. But he didn't know.
And since then, so I made this little quick list for you. You know, it used to be, you know, when I was at the Wild Rover, they didn't use the bottle. They didn't want you to know that it was sort of ethnic and odd. And now, this is true. This is a list of companies that use sriracha in their restaurants. Applebee's, P.F. Chang's, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Jack in the Box, Subway, White Castle, all use sriracha.
Red Arrow Diner.
And Red Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, needless to say, it's quite popular.
It
but the,
is.
The history of this company, and the guy, David Tran is his name, the founder of this company, is absolutely intriguing and amazing.
Well, give us the thumbnail sketch, yeah. if you would like to.
Sure. Sriracha began in 1980. Mm-hmm. So it's about 35 years old now. 80. Yeah, I'm not
in Thailand or Vietnam or something.
He actually is native Chinese, yeah. But he was a refugee from Vietnam.
Right.
Okay. And he came over. Believe this or not, he came over in the cargo hold of a Vietnamese cargo ship with 3,000 other refugees. And can you take any guess what the name of that ship was?
I know what the answer is. It's great.
The name of the ship was Hufang. That's the name of the
Can
company
that
he eventually founded.
He names the company after the ship that brought him to America.
The ship that brought him to America. Wow. And Hufang means big river.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting.
That is very interesting.
And do you know where sriracha, the word sriracha comes from?
Mm. Got me there.
The early history of sriracha, of the actual sauce, is traced back to Sriracha, a town on the coast of Thailand. You know, it's like Cantonese, like Szechuan, oftentimes.
Is a region. It's
a region.
Yes.
And so that's where Sriracha comes from. Sriracha, the town of Sriracha. So
makes sense.
That's where the sauce in the 1930s apparently.
And it's spelled Sriracha.
Yeah, that first R is silent. Yeah.
Yes.
Sriracha. So he came, and where did he come? Mike knows this.
He actually disembarked in Boston.
In Boston. Yeah, so he's his first port of call was mm-hmm. Boston. I guess he had a family back then. His son was two or something like that. Lived in Boston for a little while, and apparently while he was in Boston, he went out looking for the type of sauce, the hot sauce that he was making back in the old country, and he couldn't find it. And that's what sort of inspired him to start creating his sriracha recipe. And he moved to California, and he made it there.
I don't know how long he was in Boston. I don't think
not
terribly long.
Apparently just a couple of months.
And there's such a more of an Asian ethnic base in California.
Yeah.
I think it was smart to move there. I mean, Boston has its share of fans of Chinese food, but not nearly enough to launch a company.
Yeah, yeah. So that was it. And I got another little tidbit for you. You know, the building that the rooster sauce is made out of is the same building that used to house Wham-O.
Yeah, the Frisbee people.
The Frisbee people. Isn't
exactly.
that odd? Yeah.
But the rest of the story, maybe we can save it for the break. I don't know if you know. If not, I can share it. Of some people try to put him out of business.
Yes, yeah.
And so why don't we hold on?
Okay,
that.
We'll hold
you
on
can tell that.
That
story.
All right.
Let's go on break, and we're going to divvy out some of this sriracha popcorn because I'm dying to try it. You're listening to Food for Thought. Dan Cesney in the house. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to The Pulse 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web, WTPLFM.com. It is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. We are in studio with Dan Cesney.
Howdy.
Welcome.
We all have runny noses right now.
Yes. I was ready to.
We've been chowing down on the sriracha popcorn during the break.
And our consensus, I think, is that it is really good.
Fantastic.
It
is
really
spicy.
Is.
It's not over
spicy.
The top, but if you like if you don't like spicy food, you will not want to have this.
Yeah. It's good.
It's true to its brand.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it totally is.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
So this, I could not find this in Manchester. In fact, I couldn't find this in New Hampshire. Maybe it could be in someplace in Nashville. There's a lot of little grocery mm-hmm. stores, perhaps. But I had to go down to H Mart in Burlington, Mass, in order to pick that up. And I didn't go down there on purpose. I didn't know it existed. I was just wandering.
Oh, is that right?
I was just wandering around, and I saw it.
As you've been known to do.
Yeah, as I've been known to do.
What did that bag cost? Do you remember?
$4.
$4.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's like pirate booty. Have you ever had that?
I'm not a big popcorn person.
Oh, no. Is that popcorn?
I'm really not.
Pirate booty?
Pirate booty is an extruded snack.
Oh. So not that expensive. I'd never seen it before. It's the brand make. I don't know what the Pop Gourmet popcorn is. I think that's the company that they formed in order to do the popcorn. But It's you know, it's the Hufang Foods that puts this out. So it looks like they're branching out. Yeah, I didn't even see anything about this on their website, so it could be very, very new.
It is hot.
You can see, though, that it's a powder, or that it's like very tiny flakes that creates the
delicious
heat and gives it sort of almost a rust color because, you know, sriracha is obviously a red color.
Bright red.
Yummy. So we need to finish up the story of people that when he moved when Mr. Fong?
Mr. Tran, David
Mr.
Tran.
Tran. David Tran moved to California. His factories began spewing copious amounts of allegedly byproducts that didn't make the neighbors happy.
So they say Irwindale, California, that's where his factory is, in the old Whammo factory. Mm-hmm. It's an enormous place, apparently 150,000 square feet. And he was sued. This was in
not long ago, a couple years ago.
2011? Yeah, no, 2013. So it's pretty new. He was sued because apparently the odor of the chilies, they use jalapeno chilies.
Right.
The odor of the chilies that was emanating from the Irwindale factory was upsetting the community residents and giving them allergies and making their eyes water and sneeze and all sorts. And it was like the 35 people all got together in this lawsuit. Well, and he lost is the thing. He went all the way to the Superior Court, and he was asked to essentially shut the factory down. In November, until he figured out, you know, what was going on. But what do you think happened as soon as word got out that he might have to shut his factory down in Irwindale, California? A whole bunch of other cities, Austin and a bunch of others, started making their bid to bring him and his factory to their town and offer him all sorts of benefits and bonuses and, you know,
incentives.
So the Irwindale dropped that lawsuit really fast.
So I thought part of it was motivated by somebody who had an axe to grind or some politician or something.
Yeah, that's there's a whole bunch of, you know, discrimination and ethnic problems. It's a bedroom community. And
it is?
Yeah, it's a big factory in the middle of the bedroom community. Well, he was there before it was a bedroom community. You know, they moved out to him. It was like just an industrial area. So he was there long before any of the people who sued him. Let's put it that way. But you know, as soon as he got a whole bunch of offers to move that factory, then they put the kibosh on that.
What a great story that is!
Yeah,
very cool.
American made, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He has a video on his website. If you go to Hufong.com, and that's their website. And the first thing that you see is a country and western video. I kid you not. A country and western video of that. It's 2.5 minutes long, and it's professionally produced about, you know, what makes America great. You know, American made, and the hot dogs and football and barbecue and the 4th of July. And then the country singer sings about the sriracha hot chili sauce, you know,
that's
which
awesome.
Is made in America, you know.
I can see Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire being the, the bed
for
one
that. Of those type of things.
That's my father's favorite song.
Is it really?
It's a really funny. It's a really funny commercial. But the company's, and it's still family owned. His whole family still, they all work for him. I guess his daughter is the CEO or something like that. And it's a pretty traditional American success story.
And this is his original recipe,
yeah,
I think.
And this
is
his original recipe.
Because he was making it when he was in Southeast Asia, but didn't seem to find a market for it that he would have considered to be enough to make it worth his while.
And what's cool is, you know how he made all different types of sauces at first, and he sold it door to door. When they moved to California, he got in his truck and he went around and he sold it door to door, and he marketed it specifically to the Asian community in California. He didn't think that anyone else would be interested in it, and to this day, he hasn't advertised. They have no advertising campaign or department. It's all word of mouth.
It's quite a phenomenon.
Yeah, it sure is.
No, really. I mean, because it is so wildly popular.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Is there any other food that we can think of that just began so organically and on its own, just exploded?
Just through word of mouth like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, to not advertise at all, that's
it's all been, you know, store to store and person to person. And, I mean, that's how I found out about it. I had no idea.
Yeah.
In fact, I ate it before I even knew what it was.
Yeah, you were ahead of the curve there.
Yeah, and you want to, and you eat it, and you say, "What is this?" And then you go find out about it. And the first time that I saw it at Subway's, I was like, "Ah, he's okay. He's that. There we go. He's made it. Now that you know, we're That's the upper echelon.
I wonder what the sales figures are for his company. They must just be.
They must be enormous.
Off the charts.
Let me see. I have some notes here. Let me see if it actually says any place. I imagine he does quite well.
Because it's become mainstream. But you know what? There's still a lot of people that don't know what it is. Never heard of it.
2012, 60 million a year.
And I bet you, I bet it's doubled.
Oh yeah,
in 3 years.
It's more than that.
It's been exponential.
Yeah. Because it's been only in the last couple of years that he's into the fast food places now.
Exactly.
So he must be making. And even in 2012, they were making 20 million bottles of the sauce a year. That's in 2012. Mm. 20 million
bottles. So how do they grow the company is the question. I mean, typically you want to keep coming up with new, interesting things.
One of the ways is to make popcorn.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Other applications.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing what everybody else is doing with his sauce.
Yeah.
You know, he's making it his own. And I see if someone else would try to copy like popcorn like that, it wouldn't be as good as that.
No, it wouldn't. It now that we've
wouldn't.
Had it, you wouldn't
definitely
want
it. Wouldn't.
He never copyrighted it either. That's why there can be different types of sriracha sauces.
Oh, really?
Because he doesn't own the copyright to it.
Hmm.
And he's always, it's interesting. There's a couple of documentaries out on him, and he's always talked about sort of being this man of the people, and he just wants people to taste his food, and he just wants, you know, he's never really been interested in marketing or advertising, and he's like the anti-corporation.
So
he's super successful.
A reluctant multimillionaire.
A reluctant multimillionaire, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're all reluctant otherwise.
I'm not sure he's that reluctant about it, but yeah.
Well, no, not anymore, now that he's gotten a taste of the good life in Irwindale, California.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting story. There's a documentary out on him that it's on Netflix. I'd recommend everybody
How
take a look
at. How old
is
he about? He's
70-ish maybe?
No,
or?
He's like in his 50s.
Oh, he's that young?
Yeah, he came across when he was 20, something like that. Let me see. I think he's 51 or 55.
Is he married?
55.
Ladies, this could be a good catch for him.
He is married, yeah. His whole family's. And he's in his mid-50s.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So he is.
So, and he had a young man's energy when he first started the company, too. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Good for him. I'm wondering what other sriracha products are out there in terms of this is the popcorn. I'm wondering if there's other stuff.
Other things
that
he has done.
Crackers or, you know, I'd love to see Cape Cod work into an agreement with Hufong.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it, to get chips?
Because and of course, with Lay's coming up with their new flavors every year.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody did have a sriracha potato chip, but like it wasn't.
Interesting.
Like the Hufong?
Yeah.
Or,
and you
or
can
one
use
no, it wasn't him. It was, you know, I'm not even, I don't know, I think it was. I think it was Lay's.
It may have been, yeah. Mm. And you can use the name, as Dan pointed out.
Yeah, you
he
can
doesn't
use,
own the name
uses
to it.
A sriracha sauce.
Right.
Nobody
yeah,
uses.
Yeah, no, it was sriracha
it's like
chip.
Ketchup,
but,
or you know, that's another one of those.
It wasn't good.
Generic words.
It wasn't. You know,
no,
it was all right.
Wasn't as good as this.
No way. See, with that amount of spice on chips, would be really good.
Be good.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah.
Well,
we're just to have the powder. As like a
yes,
so to put in on your own,
right?
Like as like garlic powder or something like that.
And I bet you somebody's making that.
Yeah, that would
I bet
be good.
If you Google
right
now sriracha powder, you would find.
You just
companies
pop your own
sell it online.
Popcorn or, or whatever, and then you know make garlic bread with sriracha powder.
I'm thinking about that right now. well, we never got to the guava juice.
That's all right. Next time.
Save
next
that
time
for another episode.
I'm going to be in Atkinson tonight. By the way,
Atkinson Public Library,
6:30. I'm going to be doing a presentation on Nepal.
All right. You are an author and a speaker.
Yep.
You've spent time there. You had married a woman from Nepal.
I did indeed. And we're going to be showing slides of my marriage in the mountains, and we're going to be talking about food there, too. So
fantastic.
So 6:30,
it's free.
Atkinson
Public Library.
Public Library.
Thanks, Dan Sesney.
You're very welcome.
All right. We're at the top of the hour. And when we come back, we'll be joined with Jane Copeland of Dream Dinners here in Bedford. We'll be right back.